We're just okay and we play some movies. We're just okay.
Movie watchers.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Just Okay Movies. I'm your host, Biggie Size, and I'm joined by...
Hey, guys, it's me, Guido.
Oh, hell, Guido. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, man, I'm hanging in there. October. It's October 1st today, if you're listening to this in the future. And it's one of my favorite movie months.
Oh, hell yeah. You know, we're bringing it back, baby. 31 days of horror films, one movie every day. I know Guido's put a massive list together. How are you going to go about choosing which movie to watch every day?
Well, I think it'll just be a discussion in the movies channel on Just Okay Gamers Discord. That's discord.gg/justokgamers. Whoever wants to stream something will do it. I'm kicking it off tonight, the first. You will miss this, I take it, if you're listening to this and you're not on the Discord. But we're going to start with a movie called Crawl, which is about a hurricane ravages Florida and a big old crocodile is going to eat some people.
Oh, snap. Wow, that sounds really nice. When was that movie released?
I think 2019.
Wow, pretty recent release. Okay, that sounds good. Any stars that we know of in that movie?
Nope.
Oh, right, even better. Shitty acting, a big old crocodile, and hurricanes. Perfect. Uh-huh. That's a great one to start with.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping to get some Anaconda vibes, maybe a little winking John Voight at me.
Oh, very nice. Looking forward to it. So please get on the Just Okay Gamers Discord. And on top of those, there's always a movie going on at least once or twice a week. I'll do a couple of shout outs on there. We still have the Bomb Have Star Wars Saturdays starting at 10 p.m. Central, usually. It just depends. You know, it's up in the air. But he'll always do a little shout out when he's about to start. I think they are beginning A New Hope this Saturday. I think they just finished all the prequels and Solo and Rogue One. So they're heading straight to the good ones until we get back to the bad ones.
Yeah.
Episode 7 onward. So get on there. It's a fun time. Also, Belle is still going through the Studio Ghibli Jambalaya films, starting on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Central. So all kinds of variety. And Guido and I jump on there and do films just randomly. So if you enjoy films, you need to get on that gamer Discord.
Yeah,
Guido,
get on the video gaming Discord for movie talk.
Dude, the Discord is incredible. It has grown into this behemoth of interests, like the card games going on, which I guess is still gaming, but then the book club, the secret book club going on, movies. I mean, who knows what's next? It's a living organism that keeps mutating, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, I can't wait to start the porn watching club.
I guess it's a natural evolution. You know, we've gotten into movies. We just get into a little racier movies.
Yeah. Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah. Everyone gets on. Let's see, how many can you have? 25 people and they can all be streaming something different. So have 25 yeah. different oh, porn man. Films going on.
Just think of it. A whole Discord wall full of hardcore penetration. And you can have all different flavors on there. You can hit all the LGBTQTs, and you can hit straight. You can hit hardcore foot fetish, furry porn, Rule 34. Oh. You know, whatever you want.
You're into inanimate objects banging. I mean, we got it. Uh-huh. We got it. We are all inclusive. No one should ever say we are not inclusive.
So October's horror month. November will be porn month.
We're flipping the table. Oh my god, that's so good. Guido, I have to start this with, I think, good news. At least to me, it's good news. Because about a couple episodes ago, I railed Star Wars something fierce. I felt like I was just wailing on it. And I got actually a lot of people saying, yay, I'm happy you said that. I felt good saying it, and I think Guido felt the same way. You know, it was just so years of disappointment. Well, years of getting excited for the possibility of it happening, and then years of disappointment. Well, I have some hope. Maybe you could say I have a new hope for Star Wars because I binged through The Mandalorian and it was incredible. You know, it was, you know, it's no like big award other than the graphics, you know, it's no big award-winning story, award-winning, you know, acting or anything like that, or even writing, but it was well executed. The script made sense and it flowed well. You grew to love, or not love, but at least enjoy, maybe love the characters, you know, and I was so amazed. I think the one point where I noticed I was really falling for the script, the story, and the characters was when the Mandalorian, like I think he gives the Baby Yoda to someone, and he goes back into his ship, and he reaches for the knob and notices the knob is not on the control switch because Baby Yoda likes to take it off and play with it. I was like, wow, that's a really simple scene, but it kind of clicked like have a bit of a connection to those characters. Yeah. And that's just something I never saw in any of the other three films, the new films, or even the Solo and the Rogue One films. It was just a small moment just made me realize, wow, they actually have written this show for me to care about what's going on in the characters, even though the story is pretty small in nature. And that's perfectly fine.
Smaller's so, better, man, right now is. When it comes to Star Wars.
It
is. Smaller's better. And it's, absolutely. It's fun. It's just a fun romp.
Oh, totally agree. Looks fantastic. I mean, it's definitely not far from that movie grade of what you would expect from a Star Wars film. So I'm pumped for season two. I'm excited. I waited this long to watch it, and now season two is just right around the corner.
Yeah, I'm excited for it too. I watched it pretty much right when it came out and started watching it with the daughter who really liked it. And then she went home to her mother's and I couldn't wait. So I just finished the rest of the series and she still hasn't finished it. So shame on me, but that's a testament to how much it hooked me because I just wanted to see more. I wanted to be in that little story for a little bit longer. And I'm very excited for second season.
Agreed. Couldn't agree more. I think I just had to lead with that because it was just so, it was just like a light finally was shining through that darkness that there is talent over in Lucas still, and they can make something. I think they just need to stick with one or two writers. Jon Favreau, which I didn't know he wrote anything. I just knew him as an actor, but man, pretty decent with really? The script. Yeah.
Swingers.
Oh, well there is Swingers, but you know, still, I don't really think of like Swingers and then writing something like The Mandalorian. They're not in the same camp to me, at least. I just would have never thought he would be able to write something that felt very Star Wars, you know, felt like I was in that universe, but I was also not tied down to, you know, the old struggle, and was very beautiful. Like, those concept arts after the end of the episode are just gorgeous.
Yeah,
like, I love it. Oh, my God. They're so good. I love the use of, like, the AT-ST ones. Like, that was just beautifully done. So I can't say enough good things about The Mandalorian. Easily the best Star Wars content that's come out in, what, 20 years now? Has it been that long? Who knows? But yeah, go check it out if you haven't seen it already.
I agree. Check out that giant, overly advertised Star Wars universe series on Disney Plus, guys, if you haven't seen that.
This little indie studio, you may have heard of them.
Yeah, we should get paid for this.
We really should. You know, we kept having that dream that one day this pod would be so big that Disney would court us. You know, right. I think if we keep saying nice things about The Mandalorian, maybe that dream will happen.
Yeah, but then they hear the other episodes. Rant and ramble about, you know, Force Awakens or whatever it is, The Last Skywalker. Like, yeah, go.
Ooh, boy. May have to censor that episode a little. Redact it. Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness. Well, Guido, have you watched anything interesting lately?
Well, first, I want to talk about something that I haven't watched, and I'm going to assume that you haven't watched it, and I want to explore why that is.
And it's this is going to really kill our dreams.
Disney, sorry, Disney. Disney, tune out for a minute and come back. We were talking about Bill and Ted, or I don't know, whatever. But yeah, that movie's Mulan, huh? The live action Mulan.
Oh boy.
I don't want to watch it. I don't want to watch it. And here's another little tidbit. I haven't seen any of the live action remakes of any of the animated films. I haven't seen one of them. Aladdin, Lion King, I guess is all CGI. Is that it? Is that all there is? Lion King and Aladdin? Oh, and I think so. Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, yeah.
Haven't seen a single one of those. And it's just something that does not appeal to me. And I'm having a lot of trouble trying to figure out who the audience is for this stuff.
Ooh, you bring up a great point. And I feel like this is a true generation divider, because growing up as a kid, I saw all of those animated films. They were a big part of my childhood, mine and my sisters. We have them on VHS. We watch them all the time. And now, being a 31-year-old adult, I don't really have a lot of interest in going in and seeing those films done just live action. I know the story. I know how it plays out. I'm sure the acting's great. You know, the CGI and stuff they use in Lion King look fantastic. But I just don't have an interest going back to relive those moments. Now, I'm sure and it seems like at least in Lion King's case, it did really well in the box office. Then, and they just announced they're doing a sequel.
So Lion King?
Yeah. They just announced that they're playing a sequel, and it's going to be the director from Moonlight doing it.
Oh, Hachi, Hachi, Hachiga.
I know, but I'm sure there's some major fanatics out there that just really want to get back into those worlds again, just in a different, a live action perspective instead of animated. And I'm just seriously not one of them. Absolutely. I have not seen any of them either. Happy they did them. I'm sure they're great for what they are. But boy, oh boy, I have no interest in getting into that world again.
I imagine the fatigue for these is going to be quick. I don't think they're going to start piling out 20 of them, I think that the second Lion King might be a nail in a coffin for this whole idea of remaking these animated movies. I don't know. There's no box office numbers for how Mulan did, but I don't see people paying $25 to watch it on Disney Plus. I think it's $25. Might be more.
It's $30.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And it's got to be such a loss. Mulan has to be such a loss for him. Or maybe not.
Agreed.
Who knows, with distribution worldwide, other places could love it. But I like the animated movies, and it's just they don't appeal to me at all. Like, why would I want to sit and watch Will Smith pretend to be the genie? it just doesn't click with me at all. And there might be a few people who it clicks with, but anyone that I've talked to hasn't been like, oh my God, I can't wait for Aladdin, man. I can't wait for Aladdin. Dude, they got Will Smith to be the genie, dude. And you seen the carpet, like the CGI in the cave? Oh my God, I'm so hyped for Aladdin. No one, I've never heard that. Everyone's just been like, anyone that's seen it probably in theaters has been like, well, I don't want to take my kids to this, drama or horror movie. So the only thing playing, there's no superhero movies playing right now. So I guess I'll take them to see Aladdin. I don't know.
Right.
No, I just don't totally understand right. The audience for this thing. Kids don't get that click. Of course, it's a new movie to them, but they don't get that click of like, oh, I get to relive this again. And adults get to relive in my opinion, an inferior product.
Oh, so well said.
I don't understand it.
Well said. I totally agree because, you know, trying to put myself in the shoes of a parent, you know, with a kid, maybe I would assume target audience, maybe five, six years old, who could really get into it and understand what's going on. Like, I would love for them to watch Lion King and Beauty and the Beast and all those. They're great films, but I'm going to show them the animated one because I want to share with them what I had as a kid. And I just don't see, like what you're saying, that I'm going to, me as a parent, sitting down and watching the live action. Sure, it may hit the same beats and everything, but it's just, for me, it's not going to quite be the same. So maybe it's also geared towards people like myself who either wants to do both. As you said, they want to share the animated film and share the live action one. So it's kind of like a brand new moment for both of them, kind of. Or if it's really for people who didn't get into the animated films. So it's like a new experience for both of them on the big screen. Somewhere around there. But I totally agree with you. Like, they look okay. The Lion King one, I think out of all of them, was the most interesting. Because of the imagery and everything like that. But it is very beautiful. And the other ones, I don't know. Especially Aladdin. Aladdin seemed way too funky.
I think the fatigue has set in. I think Beauty and the Beast is the first one. People were like, oh, I got to see this. You know, they're remaking it with Emma Watson. It's going to be cool to see real live people do the Beauty and the Beast shit. And the CGI and the candlestick, all that bullshit. And then... they did Lion King, which is all CGI, and it's realistic CGI, so you kind of want to see it for that technical prowess, I suppose. And to hear, you know, famous people do takes of the voices of the various animals. But then, you know, Aladdin came out, and people were like, well, you know, I like Aladdin, I guess. Will Smith has, you know, been part of my life for a while. I'll go see it, I guess. And then Mulan, where everyone's just like, I'm not going to pay $30 to watch this on my iPad.
Oh, my God. You're totally right. And it's even more insulting because that's on top of your subscription fee. So you're actually paying $37 to watch this one movie. Yeah. Where a lot of the VOD stuff that was in theaters are renting for $20, which I still think is way too much. So $36, $37 is ridiculous. But I agree with you, man. You know, Mulan animated film was a lot of fun. Of course, I was a little older when that one came out, but still enjoyed it, you know, quite a bit. But, you know, I look at the trailers and the characters, and I'm like, you know, I feel like you could slap any name on here. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon 2, or some other girl jumps on walls and cuts heads off. You know, you just throw any kind of weirdly named, you know, Japanese film title and throw it on there and it would work. Where, you know, at least with the other films, it had imagery that you recognize. You know, you recognize the that rock thing from Lion King, you know. Iconic imagery, you know, same thing with Emma Watson and the Beast guy. What was that movie called again? I just totally forgot.
Emma Watson and the Beast guy.
Okay, that's what it's called. That's a very efficient title. A lot of imagery and music, iconic music. But Mulan, man, I don't even know. If you told me it was just some movie that was on Netflix that was made for, like, you know, $500, I believe you. It just doesn't look good. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it was going to be a stinker regardless. If at all, they may have saved face with this happening. Because I just did not feel it was going to do well.
You know what it is? It's the Alien Ant Farm doing the cover of Smooth Criminal of movies.
Ooh,
you know,
that's a deep cut. That's interesting. Yeah.
It just slaps a new coat of paint on it. It gets a younger generation involved, I suppose. And they're like, wait, did you know Michael Jackson made that song? You know?
Yep. That's a good point.
So That's what it is. That's what it is to me in terms of cinema.
Oh, man. I really hate to say that about the film because the concept is great. Mulan had a really neat story, but boy, you're right, man. I watch those trailers. I think about it. I'm like, you know, I could get to that film. And then I see a trailer. I'm like, no, no, thank you. And I'm with you. I think someone would have to just have it played and I'll just have to sit down and just start watching it for me to actually view it. If I have to hit the play button, that day's just not going to come.
Yeah. I proposed it to the movie channel one night just out of boredom. I was like, yeah, Mulan's out. It's the fourth new movie that's come out in the past 6 months. So anyone want to watch it? And it was met with either indifference or utter disdain.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I did not watch it under those circumstances. But I did host a movie night, one of those nights. It was a new release, and it has Spider-Man. It has Batman. That's it. That's all the superheroes, I think, that are in it.
That's plenty.
Yeah, that's two. It's a movie called The Devil All the Time, released straight to Netflix with Tom Holland, Robert Pattinson, the Skarsgård guy, I suppose, the clown is in it. It's about Deep South Baptist beliefs and how kind of bad they are to communities, I suppose.
Yeah, that's about right. You know, it's so funny when we watch that. I've been really looking forward to this movie because I love the imagery. And I got to say, it did not disappoint. I talked about, like, afterwards, like, man, it was pretty accurate. You know, I grew up in Podunk Nowhere, Tennessee, in the southeast area. So a lot of agriculture. The biggest city is Nashville, and it's, you know, 5 hours away. So a lot of farmlands and a lot of these really hidden, out of the way churches, mostly Baptist, but not all the time, but mostly. And I mean, some of them didn't even have power, depending on how far you wanted to go back.
And they're all in the middle of a giant meadow field.
Yes.
With the longest dirt driveway up to the front door with no parking lot.
Right. You're lucky if it's gravel. Like, you're totally right. And that's exactly how they are. And I'm not sure, and I don't want to offend anyone who might, I guess I'd be offending myself if I say it, but it can sometimes, those people, when you're really broken away from society, living up in the hills, you might have plumbing, you know, what have you. You can be a little bit more impressionable because you don't have a large view of society as a whole. And it's very, very true. Even in today's day and age, I had grandparents and great grandparents who were similar, with them not having a lot of means of finding out what's going on. And when you're going to church and you're being told these things, you kind of take it as being the absolute truth, even if it doesn't have much to do even with the Bible. And I found that they really captured that because I've been in those churches with my grandparents before. And the pastor, played by Robert Pattinson, was perfect, spot on. He really came out in this movie by nailing that role because I felt like I was back in those days hearing these sermons that I did not quite feel were right. a little misguided. And it was fascinating. So in that way, the atmosphere and everything was so perfect.
Yeah. Having grown up in this kind of microcosm of America, how many dogs did you sacrifice on crosses to save your mom from cancer?
Oh, my God. I believe I've got a list somewhere. I have to go take a look.
You got Spot. You got Ruff. You got old Ringo.
Oh, man. Mom's in a coma again. All right. Come here, Freckles. It's time to go visit the...
It's gotten to the point where it's very hard to find a dog in the southern Appalachia area.
That's the truth. Oh my goodness. But in all seriousness though, the one part where the guy dumped all the spiders on him as a show of testament that God will protect him. I mean, I'd never been the one, but there were several churches I knew of around my area that did stuff like that, you know, holding the snakes and all that stuff.
Wow. Like a face your fears kind of thing.
Exactly. Like they would just, you know, I never went to one, but neighbors and stuff that we had talked to and that had patients who would tell them about how it worked. Yeah. Oh, it's very, very real.
Did anyone ever go up and was like, Lord, oh Lord, for my whole life, I've been scared of giant old titties motorboating in my face. Well, Lord up in heaven, I will show you I'm not afraid.
Oh. No.
That
no,
ever
no one
happened?
Ever did that. No.
Oh, nuts.
Never happened.
That'd be me if I was a dirty preacher.
But it's so amazing, you know? It's such a it feels like in the South, you know, it's just a strange cultural phenomenon that I think is going away because, I mean, even the area I lived in, we didn't have high-speed internet until about 2 years ago. And it's just that kind of like technological luxuries and stuff, you know, being able to get that information a lot faster. It's just starting to creep into those woodland areas, the boondock areas. And I just feel like with that going on, it's going to force those deep southern areas to transform and become more modern. It's just, you know, it's amazing. Like living here in Dallas, it's just a lot of the things that I'm able to get a hold of and get to my home, you know, quickly, you know, groceries within 2 hours and all that stuff just didn't exist. And it's just kind of amazing. But I just feel like this movie, I think, was it set in the 70s, 80s? I think the Vietnam War was still going on.
It spanned quite a bit. It was started in like the 40s because that kid was born, I think. Oh, no. Right. Yeah, 40s to late 40s to 60s?
I think so. I think so. Because I think it started with his dad being in the Pacific during World War II.
Yeah.
And then they kind of hit on the Vietnam War going on at the time. It's just very amazing, and I'm very impressed with how much care they put into getting the location and the thinking and everything of that time, because it's still prevalent here in 2020, though going away, and that's definitely for the best. Acting, I gotta say, Tom Holland, you know, I think he was overshadowed by Batman. I forgot his name. But I still think he did a solid job. And I think if he keeps working at it, he's going to become a very versatile actor. But I just got to say, Batman, just he stole the show. I'm so impressed with his abilities. Yeah.
He didn't even have much in terms of dialogue. He had two sermons, I think. And then when he was meeting the parishioners, and then the time that he, you know, kind of molested that girl, or, well, what's the word? Coerced her into having sex.
Yes, strongly coerced.
Yes.
Yes, I agree with that.
But no. Yeah, it was a small performance, but it was also a very big performance, just in terms of delivery. And it's a very violent movie, and it's got a lot of narratives going on all at once, which kind of all wrap into each other. The main narrative being Tom Holland's character, just kind of coming to terms with how, this Baptist, religion, fervorism is, not good, I suppose. And, he takes matters into his own hands. And,
right.
then matters get put into his hands after he takes them into his own hands. And, he has to react to that a few times.
Very true.
It's just a series. Really, it's a series of unfortunate events for Tom Holland.
Agreed.
Because, has no good childhood. His dad does some crazy ass, you know, religious stuff about sacrificing the dog, like I said. And then he grows up with a chip on his shoulder regarding religion. Or at least this baptism. I think he still believes in God and stuff. Or maybe he doesn't. He seemed pretty put off by it.
I would say that. I think he still believed, but he was beginning to see that it was being manipulated or used to take advantage of his flock.
Yeah. And once he finds out what happens, without giving spoilers away, because I really think people should watch this and I don't want to spoil it for him. It's a pretty wild ride. But the beginning part, I watched the previews and I knew Bill Skarsgård, I knew Pattinson and Tom Holland were all in it. But for the first 30 minutes or so, you don't see anyone except Skarsgård. And you're like, man, when's the rest of the cast going to enter this movie? But it actually skips ahead in time quite a bit. So there's a lot of layers to it, and I think people should watch it. It's not a fun movie, but it's a good movie.
Agreed. Definitely try to pay attention because it kind of does a whole, what is that Tarantino film? Pulp Fiction kind of thing where, you know, you're as what Guido said, you're jumping around in time and then you start connecting the dots of how all these things are time periods and plots are connected. And so you definitely want to pay attention. If you get up, pause it. Because I had to go to the bathroom and come back, and I think I lost a few things. Finally connected it at the end, but definitely pay attention. But excellent movie. Really, really enjoyed it. Cool. You know, I want to talk about one movie, and it's been a while since I've seen it, and I don't think I've mentioned it in the past couple of episodes, but I really want to talk about it, and it's The New Mutants. Came out just a little bit before... what's that movie? Tenet came out. So I went to the theaters and watched it. It's gotten absolutely murdered in reviews. And that bothers me a little bit because I want to say a bunch of good things about the movie. I think it's going to be, from what I understand, the movie was hastily kind of put together in editing. And after Disney took hastily. Over Fox. Is that not
hastily?
True?
No, this movie was shot like 4 years ago.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought it was put together quicker than that. Oh, I didn't know that.
It was a long time ago. They released a trailer and then I guess test audiences weren't digging it. So they went back to the cutting floor. They did a few reshoots and whatnot. It's had quite the story to it. I'm not completely aware of, but yeah, it's been in production for well over 4 years, I believe.
Oh, wow. I did not know that. I had felt it was quickly put together because the editing was crazy a little bit at times.
I think that has to do with it being reshot several times. Like the first trailer that they released, it was like Comic-Con 2017 or something.
Whoa, really?
And it was booked as a horror movie. It was booked as a horror movie in the X-Men universe. The whole trailer read as a horror movie. Apparently the test audiences weren't having that or they lost funding. I don't know the whole story, but there it sat for years upon years until another trailer came out in 2018. And then it sat again until it finally released during a global pandemic. So had horrible.
It has, and really, it probably should have just released on like Disney Plus or something. You don't expect a Marvel film, or even one of like the more recent X-Men films. Like, don't even expect that quality of filmmaking. It's a very small story centered in one location. Which I love. I love that about the film. The acting is pretty bad. Even the chick that was from Game of Thrones, she was really bad. I don't know how she is in that film, but I just assume she was a pretty good actor from everyone loving her. But yeah, she just wasn't very good in this one. But everyone served their purpose. And that's the one thing I got to say about it, because I thought the same thing going into it from the trailers. It's like, okay, this is going to be an X-Men horror film. And even the more recent trailers kind of made it feel that way. It's not at all. Maybe a couple little jump scare kind of things. But if you go and watch it, don't expect a horror film. It's not exactly like a X-Men film either until you get to the end with some of the action. But the story itself is small but very intimate. And I think that's what I loved about it the most, was you kind of go around this facility getting to know the cast. And, you know, they kind of bicker because there's a lot of big personalities in the group. But then at the end, they kind of pretty cohesively come together to figure out what was going on there. And, you know, you get the big ending and then kind of some interesting little bits of information, which I heard people go, oh, when they saw this name pop up. I don't want to say anything. And I had no idea what the role it meant. But then I looked it up.
Was it William Stryker?
William Stryker. I have no idea who that is. I'll just go ahead and say it, because I don't think it's going to surprise anyone. It kind of leads to who they're going to be potentially facing in the future. The lab was ran by, the guy... Oh God, I forgot the name. He's part of the, is it the Sinister Six? Aren't they
Mr.
like
Mr. Sinister?
Mr. Sinister, yeah.
Oh. Apparently, Sinister Six is Spider-Man villains.
Oh, is that Spider-Man? Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, let me look up that. Yeah, I'll look it up later. But it's some big bad guy. I think he's that vampire looking guy from X-Men.
He's got a diamond on his head.
Yeah, I think it's that guy. And yeah, it's like Mr. his Sinister. Company. Okay, thank you. He's running the whole show. I can't remember the company name, but that was the big reveal, which was kind of cool after I found out what it meant. But still, it was a cool scene nonetheless for them to kind of rise above what they were having to be, or they're being oppressed by, and solve the problem and get to know each other and then walk away kind of at the end. I guess I kind of spoiled the ending. Sorry, guys. But I recommend watching it because I thought it was a really fun film. Just because it was so small. And it also dealt with some of the concepts I love about X-Men. You know, who's truly the good guys or the bad guys? I love that. You know, you can kind of side with either one depending on how you feel. And I don't think you would necessarily be in the wrong because you could explain your position very well. So I think it touched on that still. So it felt very much kind of like an X-Men film, but small and intimate. And I really like that. So I recommend watching it. Don't listen to the reviews. Go watch it.
I don't think we'll get a sequel out of this. This was, I think what stalled it was in part largely because of the acquisition of Fox by Disney. And Fox had already made the movie. Disney acquired them and was like, you're going to need to make some changes. So I think this is the last of the Fox X-Men that we'll see, and we'll start slipping into Marvel Cinematic Universe version of the X-Men. I don't think any of the past films will be canon, in my opinion, just because that adds way too much confusion. I think that there's going to be its own canon in the Marvel Universe with Iron Man and Cap and all them. But I don't think they're going to wink at you and talk about how Kevin Bacon was the villain in one of those X-Men movies.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. They need to do that. You know, Marvel's got way better writers. I'm sure they can make some really interesting stuff happen. They shouldn't be weighed down with, although I like the X-Men First Class, all the young X-Men stuff. It's been fun, but, you know, it's time to, you know, wipe their hands of it and make something new. I'm very excited. I want the old school Wolverine. I think that's the one thing I want the most, and the old school Cyclops, or at least get close to it. You know, how they felt like from what comics I read and the animated show, just that kind of cohesiveness, not so much the, you know, the arc with Wolverine kind of taking over everything. I'm ready for that to kind of go. I want a cohesive X-Men group.
Hell yeah. I want them using their powers with each other. Yep. Chaining him off of doing combos and shit. Fastball special I need to see. Yeah. Maybe we'll get that. Yeah, I think it'll be quite a few years, though.
Yeah, it's going to be a little while. I think this COVID has slowed down Marvel. I mean, they even pushed the next Marvel film down the next year, I think, except for Black Widow. I think they're still trying to release it in November, December, but I'm sure it's going to get pushed again or put onto Disney Plus. I kind of feel like that's going to be another stinker.
When COVID's, like, I say over, I'd use air quotations for that, but when it's slowed down and people are comfortable going back to the movies, do you think that there's just going to be a floodgate that opens up and where there's, you know, 48 movies going on a weekend to release?
That's a good point, man, because so much has been pushed. You know, right now in December, we are looking at three films, if I remember correctly. The three big ones. It's going to be Wonder Woman, Dune, and Black Widow. I have a feeling with what numbers we've gotten from Tenet and how a lot of theaters, like Alamo Drafthouse, I've been going to them. They could just close them all down temporarily because of, I think it's a mix of COVID and just, you can't survive with, you know, 100-seat theater and there's only five of us. There's no reason to keep the doors open. And with Tenet's numbers looking abysmal, I have a feeling they're going to push those out. There's just no way that they're going to release big films like that and just squander, you know, them because they're not going to see those numbers that they need to. So you're right. It could be that, you know, if you talk about those three films and then all the films that got pushed easily in the next year, I can't think of all of them.
And I'm sure there's so many indie films that, you know, had, you know, 2 weeks left of production that they're still waiting on. It's going to be so many.
Yeah, I agree. And what could suck, just depending on what, I mean, next year we're looking at an Avatar film, possibly. So that could be another one that they're going to definitely want to release in the October, November range. I think that's their sweet spot. You know, depending on how far COVID goes into, you know, maybe if things open up in June, you might just have a floodgate of films just clogging everything up. But then you're going to have like these big tentpole films that, you know, they're not going to push Avatar if everything's open. So then you got films that are still trying to get in. They're going to have to circumvent that big film and then meet up around December, January. It could just be a mess.
Yeah, but the nation could be ready for it, you know. And be like, right. I'm going to the movies. I'm going to see three movies this week, you know?
Right. Right. No, I think you're right. It's going to be fascinating to watch. You know, everyone's had to change. Disney's had to change their plans on the Marvel schedule. I have a feeling they're going to, if they have to focus on something now, it's going to be shows for Disney Plus, which is probably a smart move for them. But I guess we'll see. It'll be fascinating. Well, have you watched anything else, man?
I watched a documentary on Netflix called The Social Dilemma. You seen this? You heard about this?
I have not, but it sounds very interesting from what I've read.
Yeah, it's it basically explores how social media manipulates us, the public, and its users into using it more so that it can sell more ads. You know, it's just uncovering all the manipulation that Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all those sites, YouTube, Reddit, what systems they have in place to get you to keep coming back so that they can push ads on you. And it even delves into how you know, the whole fake news aspect of just social media in general, how people make nefarious advertisements or videos to try and change people's opinions. It goes into how Russia, all these systems are in place, and Russia and China are using them. Just, you know, they just pay and they use it like regular customers, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's also backed. It's not just a load of information thrown at your face. It has this kind of weird cinematic storyline along with it, with actors playing these, like, this family that you kind of follow their lives and see exaggerated moments of how social media has affected them.
Whoa.
So, yeah, it's got that kind of gimmick to it. And then once you see a little clip of, you know, the girl, the little girl on social media and her looking in the mirror and crying because she sees all these beautiful people on Instagram and she's not one of them. It goes in and has experts and CEOs of various, you know, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest come on and explain like what is happening with people in social media. For me, it was a lot of information that I knew already. And, but I think it's still worth a watch for anyone that, well, anyone really, it's not a long watch, but it just makes you aware of all the shit going on with your smartphone.
Wow. That's incredible. What do you think is like the biggest bombshell kind of, thing that you learned from it or the thing that made you feel rough?
It's definitely how these systems are in place and that other countries are utilizing them to sow discourse within our nation. And they're using them. They're not like the Russian hackers that you hear about. They're not hackers. They're just people with an expense account that go on Facebook and buy ways to make you see stuff that's disinformation. And it's rampant too, to the point where you can't really trust anything you hear. This podcast, me and Biggie might be Russians.
we could be. Hold on, let me make sure. Yep, the check cleared. Your government hates you.
So yeah, it's these systems are in place. Anyone can use them, and anyone will use them because it gives power over people, and it manipulates people. So what started as something that was not nefarious at all, you just want to see how your Aunt Kelly's doing and check the recipe that she just posted, turned into people making fake articles about anti-masking to sow discourse within the United States. And it's a lot to unpack. But I think people should watch it. And something I asked my mom, because she watched it, and she was like, wow. But I asked her, was like, is it manipulation still if you know about the manipulation? You know? If you know that there's systems in place that intend to manipulate you and make you think different things and change you very slowly over the course of time, are you still being manipulated? Because you're aware of it, doesn't manipulation have to have some sort of secrecy to it?
Interesting.
And my mom kind of shrugged her shoulders and, you know, started talking about the dogs and stuff.
Yeah, it's, you know, goodness gracious, man, that's such a great question. And I don't know if I really have an answer. No. I think that's one I'd have to ponder on. But that is very, very neat. You know, it confused me when I saw stills of that movie because I thought it was a documentary, and I saw like stills of looked like actors, and that's so neat that they kind of used an actor family as an example of what's going on, and then. Yeah. Chatting about, because that sounds like very real situations, like the girl crying on Instagram. You hear that all the time. And I mean, hell, sometimes I feel that when I'm going through Instagram, I see some guy, you know, sitting on his Bentley. I'm like, shit, I suck. And
yeah,
you know, it's very true. So that's fascinating. I'm going to make it. I'll have to sit and watch that.
Yeah. Give it a watch and, you know, kind of, watch it like you would watch any documentary because it's still biased like any documentary that you watch. Like you there, Netflix, you could go on its front page. It's got 10 different documentaries about the foods you eat, processed food, you know, sugar and stuff. But then you look at any kind of actual scientific report, and a lot of it's like, eh, they got some of it right, but a lot of it was wrong too. So you have to take it with a grain of salt, but they're also telling you that in the movie. They're like, this is media too, you know, you gotta watch out. So it just makes people think. I think if everyone thought more skeptically about the stuff that is just injected into their brain, might be a better kind of place, especially in America. But
right,
you do what you got to do.
Exactly. And you know, it's funny we say that, and when I talk about the backwoods of Tennessee, it's like the opposite problem. Sometimes too much information can lead you astray, you know, or lack thereof of it can cause problems. It's just trying to find that balance where, because I don't know, in my own life, I've just had to turn off TV and quit looking at news, because we're so bombarded with information. And it's just, you know, I feel like for myself, I get on edge, and then I might hop on Facebook and see something about that could be, as you said, or fake news or misleading news, and it just sets me off. And I just start going on a Twitter rampage. And then, you know, I've just been affected by something that's not true because I've been so absorbed with data. And, you know, yeah. I think it's always helpful to take a little bit of a step back and realize, you know, life still does kind of go on, you know.
Life goes on.
Yep.
Everything that you think affects you, most of it doesn't.
Exactly. That's the exact truth, man. Well, speaking of Netflix, I watched Megan and I both watched a film called Enola Holmes. It just released. And have you seen it?
No, I've been meaning to watch it, though. I was waiting to try and get my daughter into it. But period pieces are a little tough, even if it's a famous character like a Holmes name. Yeah, I know right. It's not Sherlock, but right. Yeah, I'd like to watch it.
Okay, I won't go into it too much. I loved it. It was absolutely delightful. I think Nick Taya and I said the same thing. It was a fun little film, and that's the best way of explaining it. First, I thought it was a TV show. So when they were like, it was like over an hour, and they've almost solved half the mystery, I was like, wow, they're really like moving through this first episode, but it's a movie, if you don't know already. But it's fantastic. It's got the chick from Stranger Things. It's got the new Superman, Henry Cavill. I guess he's also the Witcher now. He's a lot of famous characters now. He plays Sherlock Holmes. Mm-hmm. Some other guy plays their older brother, and she solves a little mystery. You know, it's nothing. You know, she's not saving the world. She's not doing anything huge. It's a little family issue, and she's solving it, and it's so much fun, and she is a delight. That girl is an absolute delight on screen, and you just can't help but smile, because I don't like how all these period pieces, as well said, have gone to this whole looking at the camera, breaking the fourth wall, putting in some hip-hop music, like the Emily Dickinson show on Apple TV. I just, you know, it looked great. The characters were great, but God, I could not stand the whole hip hop music, talking to the camera stuff. It was just obnoxious. It just got in the way of everything, in my opinion. A similar thing with that newest film, Emma, which is, I think, based off, I forget that writer's books. She did a couple of the looking at the camera talking, no hip hop music or anything, but that was a delightful film too. If you like Enola Holmes, go watch Emma. It's a lot of fun, but I felt like Enola Holmes handled it beautifully. The talking to the camera actually served a purpose to kind of get you into what's going on. Sometimes maybe a little too much, because I'd be like getting into what's happening, and then she come and talk to me and tell me everything that I kind of want to figure out myself. But it was acceptable, and she's just so charming when she did it that I could ignore it. But that's kind of all I want to say. I don't want to get to the story too much, because it has a lot of fascinating ins and outs of it, and the conclusion is wonderful. I'm actually really interested in a sequel, and I did not think I would be going into it, but highly recommended. Yeah, I know period pieces, even for myself, are a tough sell, but it's so charming. You'll just kind of forget that you're back in ye olde England, and you'll just enjoy being a part of the adventure.
That's good. I think that's kind of what we need. We need a few more of those little. It's not the best movie in the world, but you know, it's fun. It's good. It's delightful.
Right. It used what it had and didn't try to be something bigger than it needed to be. And I think that is when the filmmaker knows what they've got to work with and they don't try to be too grandiose and they keep it simple, where you're just you feel like a fun spectator enjoying a play or a show. Then I think you've got something going there, and we do need more of that.
Yeah, I'll give it a watch. I'll give it a watch. I'll talk my daughter into it. Along the same vein, it's a movie that we've both watched, I believe. I watched it a few weeks ago, but another movie that is just, it's fun, is Bill and Ted Face the Music. It is fun. That said, it's a horrible movie.
You see, I actually have not sat and watched it because I have it downloaded, but I started hearing the fallout from your viewing session and I was like, ooh, that sounds about like what I was expecting, maybe a little worse. So I was like, I'll table it for now. So I'm very interested in your thoughts on it. Please continue.
Did you like Bill and Ted, the first two movies?
I only saw the first one, and it was cute. You know, I enjoyed the whole, they're kind of dummies going through history, but it was like a concept that I just didn't love. So I guess that's what kind of kept me from wanting to see. I didn't have an attachment to the character, so I didn't really care about them being old.
Sure. Yeah, then it's not for you.
Okay, great.
I think if you've seen Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Bogus Journey, and you kind of liked them when you were a kid, it revisits that. It has the same exact tone. It's the same characters. But it makes you, once the movie's over, you're like, oh, okay, that was fun seeing those guys again. But it also makes you be like, man, were those first two movies as technically bad as this was? Because it's not a good movie. Like, it has bad acting, bad writing, jokes aren't delivered right. You know, there's characters that are weird, overacting, the set pieces are strange. There's parts of it where they're walking on a platform and it's a very, very obvious it's a green screen, to the point where you still see green tint on the edges of their white shirts.
Ooh, really? They ink those out? Yikes.
So it's technically a very bad movie, but it's just enjoyable enough, if you like those old ones, that it's fun to revisit those characters and see them go through time again. Although this time you're joined by their daughters, who, one of them's all right, you know, just kind of forgettable. But then Keanu's daughter in this movie is fucking awful. Oh, the worst performance I've seen in a long time. It's like someone gave her a VHS copy of Bill and Ted and was like, okay, now do an over-exaggerated parody copy of Keanu Reeves in this movie. And she does it for the whole movie. Yeah, it's very embarrassing. But this is one of those movies where it's almost embarrassing for me to say that I had fun watching it, because it's such a bad movie.
Very interesting. Is it one of those movies you probably find more entertaining if you're drunk watching it?
Yeah. Sure, okay. You can make fun of it and stuff. There's wacky costumes and wacky dilemmas, and you know, some jokes are delivered well. It's just more just fun to see those characters again, to dip your toes in that nostalgia pool. And I find with the past year, as movies are slow to release, I'm cutting a lot of slack. to the movies that do release.
Yeah.
So if this is any, if I saw this movie in 2016, I'd be like, it's shit. It's garbage. I didn't have fun. I couldn't stop thinking about how stupid it was the whole time. And all that is true. But at the end of it, I was like, oh, yeah. Bill and Ted.
Oh, my God. You have gotten soft. Oh, man.
I suppose I have.
Oh, man. Well, I watched two interesting films. I'm grouping them together because there are two Coen films I'd never seen before. It's one of those always sitting on your list. You just never get to it. And finally, I got to it. The first one was Raising Arizona. And the second one was The Serious Man. And boy, ooh, they're two different films.
They are different films.
They're quite, it was quite jarring going between them. Raising Arizona, I say probably, at least image-wise, a very iconic Nicolas Cage film. Definitely super young in it. But it was great. You know, still, fun little story. It's probably the humor side of the Coen brothers that I've grown the really love. They, of course, you can tell at this film, their budget was very tiny. That didn't... I didn't deter them because they had a bunch of really fun scenes and you were essentially kind of rooting for the bad guys. And that was, it was great. You cared about all of them. It was a fun story. And I really recommend anyone, especially if you're a Coen's brother fan, check it out. It was a lot of fun. It's a film I hate I've sat on for so long. But Serious Man, I don't know, man. I don't know if I like that movie or not.
Hold on. Let me guess. I've seen it, I believe. Is this the one with the storm cellar? No.
No, this is the one with the Jewish family.
Jewish family.
Yeah, the dad is going through a divorce and he's Jewish and he's a professor. And it's just kind of like his...
Maybe I haven't seen that. I wonder what I'm thinking of.
I'm trying to think of a, I can't even really think of a scene that would be iconic. And apparently it got nominated for, I don't know if it was Best Picture. It was an Oscar for something. I'd say watch it, but don't expect to really enjoy your time watching it. I don't know how to compare it to another film. It starts out really strange.
It's a Serious Man.
It is a Serious Man.
Okay. I thought it was a Simple Man.
Oh, no, not Simple Man. It's a Serious Man. I don't know if I've seen Simple Man or not.
What is Simple Man?
Oh, I thought that was a name. Isn't that a Leonard Skinner song?
Oh, it is a Leonard Skinner song.
No, I think about it. Like, that's not a movie. That's a Leonard Skinner song. But check it out. It's on Netflix. I recommend watching it. If you're a fan of the Coen brothers, you'll get kind of the, it's definitely not humorous, although it's marked as a comedy. It's definitely more of a drama, with some comedic stuff in it, but it's an interesting story that ends on a very odd note. So check it out, but definitely watch Raising Arizona. If you had to pick between the two, I'd recommend that one. I'd recommend Hail Caesar over A Serious Man, but it's a fascinating film with some pretty interesting parts to it, but overall not a very interesting story. It's a bit more of a character kind of going to this cusp of being a little insane because of the situation he's in, but in the end it's not that interesting. But watch it. I don't really know what I'm saying. I'm still torn about the film.
Yeah.
But huh. Well, very good. Well, you got any other films? Are you good?
I'm good, man.
All right. I think I'm good, too. Oh, I'll just throw this one out real quick. Megan and I burned through all the Harry Potter films. That was a lot of fun. I'd never seen a lot of the early ones.
You had a lot of time on your hands, huh?
We did. Well, what had our internet went out. And I was like, well, you know what? I had bought the whole Harry Potter series off Netflix, off Amazon, because Megan really likes them. I'm like, well. Yeah, we talked about sitting down, binging through them. Let's just do it. I had a great time. You know, I'm not a Harry Potter fan per se. I like the last couple of films because the story was kind of dark and kind of interesting. But it kind of made me enjoy the early ones a bit. especially the second one. I liked that one because I didn't want to deal with the kids. I just wasn't a fan seeing little Daniel Radcliffe wandering around being a wizard. But the first one's not great. But the second one's actually a really, really solid film. And I think I love that one more than all the other ones because it felt like a really well done movie compared to the first one. The budget was great. Everything looked great. I think they got some acting lessons because they seemed better. The story was just didn't feel rushed and high octane like the later ones are. It was just a fun, small movie about some kids in a castle thingy solving a problem. And I love that. So it was a great time. And it was fun seeing them kind of grow up within like 2 days of watching all the films and killing the big bad guy at the end. So I don't know. If you haven't sat and watched them all before, or maybe go back and watch them again. It was a fun time.
But, cool.
That's kind of it. Well, hey, if you guys have any opinions on films, I mean, what have you been watching? What did you think of what we said? Did you like it? Not like it? Add in your thoughts. Shoot us an email to justokmovies@gmail.com. Still, hop in the Discord, justokgamer, discord.gg/justokgamers. Hit us up in the movie channel if you want to share your thoughts. There's all kinds of discussions going on there. Tweet at us @justokmovies. There's so many ways for you guys to share your thoughts with us. And I know you guys are listening, and I know you guys have thoughts. So please share them with us, and we'll talk about them on here. We love hearing them. Remember, Horror Movie Month going on. Every day, probably around, 6, 7 o'clock Central, more than likely, to find out. Yeah. Get on the
Discord.
I'm going to
have so many horror movies to talk about next time we record.
I'm kind of worried. Well, I'm excited because I loved when we did the horror films. I guess we didn't do them last year, but the year before that. Now, I think I sent you a tweet about them doing a documentary on the Monster Squad.
Yeah, I hope they remake it.
I do too, because I was so shocked. That's still my favorite Halloween movie of all time. It was so delightful. I was so happy you shared it because I knew I would have never seen it if it wasn't for you. It's so good. But that's going on. And also Bomb Half Star Wars, 10 o'clock Central, Belarus Anime Fun Times, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Check them out. Guido, as always, man, thank you so much. This was a delightful conversation. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it also.
All right, guys. You all take care. See you later.
Bye.